And I'd like us to ask ourselves the question, are we growing? It's important that we look at ourselves and see whether or not we're growing or not. Because as we move along in life, it's important that we grow in Jesus. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 13. I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. And there's a lot in this scripture that God has for us to learn. But one theme that we can take out of it is in the importance that and the privilege that we have to grow in Christ. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 1. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word together this morning. Heavenly Father, we give all glory and honor and praise to you. We thank you, God, for this opportunity that we have to come together this morning to worship you, to hear you, O God, hear from you, to praise your name, to encourage one another. Lord Jesus, now as we look to the Word of God, we once again earnestly and sincerely seek for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon this place. Lord, anoint this speaker and anoint our ears to hear what your Holy Spirit has for us today. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now when we think of people who have come to Christ, one phrase or two words that are often used to describe that is when a person accepts Christ as their Savior, they put their faith in Jesus, they repent of their sins, they become born again. In fact, the Bible puts it this way, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Something brand new is born. Now, I don't know, except on maybe science fiction shows, but most of the time when things are born, they are born small, and they're born immature. And in fact, I think there's a lot of mothers, I have not gone through the experience, who appreciate the fact that children are born somewhat small. Maybe they wish they were a little smaller, I don't know. I better get off this subject before I get into trouble. But even though children are born small, or when you plant seeds in the ground, they start off very small, the expectation, human, plant, or animal, is that that which is small, that it would grow and become bigger and stronger. And that's the expectation that God has in our lives, that we grow. In fact, the expectation of growth upon the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ isn't just for a time until we reach maturity. I mean, you know, if someone keeps growing all through their life, they have some kind of disease or illness, we become worried about them. But that doesn't hold true in the supernatural. We never get to the right height or to the right size or to the right maturity. We should always be growing. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 talks about this. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're always to be growing. In fact, we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday evening, about faith. Now, the growth in our faith is a lifelong process, and in my own experience, I've seen people have the greatest periods of growth and the greatest challenges faith often is proved and grows through testing. It goes throughout a person's entire life, even in their older years. They go through testings and trials of faith. Why? Because God is angry or they've been bad? No, so they can grow and become more like Jesus. So God expects us to grow. And it's important that we grow because when we grow, we become more like Jesus. And that's where God wants us to be. When we grow, we become more fruitful. And last year we had a series on fruitfulness. But when we're fruitful, we share the freshness and the sweetness and the goodness of God with other people. And of course, fruit contains seeds. When we're fruitful, we're spreading the gospel everywhere we go. And so that's important as well. Also, as we mature, we get bigger. Now, I'm not talking about physically bigger, although that does come with age, at least for some of us. But as far as spiritually, the believer, when we get bigger, we have a greater influence. And this is what God wants us to be. He wants us to be people of influence. And influence as many people as possible. And if you're growing in Christ, you will influence more and more people by who you are and what you're doing. And I know sometimes when we say that, that frightens people. I can't get up there and, you know, say like different people or sing or do. Let me tell you, some of the quietest people there is in the body of Christ are people of influence. Because Jesus just shines out all over them. They might be soft-spoken, and I've heard you say of different individuals in this church, you know who I really appreciate? And I'll say who, and they'll mention someone who's quiet, who's never on the platform, who never sings, who never preaches, but their life is a great testimony of who God is, and they really appreciate that. You can be quiet and still be a great person of influence, and as you grow, you become a greater person of influence. We need to grow because we need to be strong. Times are tough, life is tough. And it doesn't look like it's going to get any easier if you read the newspapers. Or read online, I guess. No one reads newspapers, so not too many anymore. There's troubles, and troubles would come anyways. Because that's what life here is like. It's not heaven. Heaven is coming, but there are trials and difficulties now. And we need to be strong. And the only way that we can be strong, and especially strong for greater challenges that may come, is if we grow in Christ and become stronger in Him. So we need to grow. When we grow, we please God. We grow, it impacts others. But also when we grow, it's important for your own mind and your own heart that you grow. It's a blessing when you grow. When you grow, when you're fruitful, when you're investing in the lives of other people, in your heart you have this purpose. You know what that what you're doing is not just for naught or for nothing. But what you're doing when your life is spiritually fruitful, you are impacting people not just for a week, a day, a year, not even a lifetime. You're impacting people for eternity. You're helping them find and hold on to Jesus so that they make it into that place called eternity in the presence of God where there's no tears or sorrows or parting. So it gives you a sense of purpose. And also when you grow in Jesus, and especially as you grow strong in Christ, no matter what this world throws against you, you stand strong for Jesus. It gives within your heart a great feeling of self-respect. You can look at yourself in the mirror and not in a proud and grandiose way say, you know, how good am I? But because of how closely you're walking with God, you don't have to look at yourself with deep shame and say, oh, I blew it, I failed God again. Because you've grown and you've been strong, you can feel good about yourself and be set free to worship and to minister for God. So it's important that we grow. And so to find out whether we're growing, we have to ask ourselves, am I growing? We need to take a look at our lives to see whether or not we're growing. Now, I know some of you have gardens, and I know some of you brought some things in. We had some lovely cucumbers from Sally. Weren't those great? I mean, those were beautiful. And some of you brought some other things, and some of you talked about your gardens. And the thing about a garden, I wish a garden, and we have a garden too, but I wish a garden was something you just didn't have to care about. You could just walk out and pick and do all that stuff. But you got to check it and make sure it's getting all the stuff that it needs in order for it to grow. You need to make sure, you know, you can't do much about sunlight, except move it in a place where there is sunlight. But you can make sure it has enough water, and you can make sure there's no disease and things of that nature. And spiritually, the Bible does describe believers in one aspect as a vine, as a fruitful vine. We need to make sure that we have put ourselves in an environment and we are exposing ourselves to things that can help us grow. Because these are things that we often know to do, but we don't often do them all the time. Maybe we get tired of doing them, or maybe we get distracted by other things. And so it's important that we check ourselves and make sure. And so this morning I'd like to pose to you several questions as far as asking yourself whether or not you are growing in Christ, whether you're getting stronger, being more fruitful, being more influential, and so on and so forth. The first question that we need to ask ourselves, am I receiving light? Light. Life is one thing. Am I receiving light? In order for plants to grow, they must be exposed to the light. Without light, plants will not grow. And of course, as we read Scripture, John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So of course, Scripture teaches us that Jesus is the light, and so we need to expose ourselves to Him. But what does that mean? Of course, John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is also the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory full of grace and truth. And we know all these things, and these are basic things, but these are things that we need to check on a regular basis whether we're doing these things. In exposing ourselves to light so that we can grow, we need to expose ourselves regularly to the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105, very common scripture. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And I know I don't have to preach this, but it's important that we do remind ourselves that we, if we're to grow, it's, yes, important to know that the Bible is the Word of God and that it has all the answers of life, of knowing who Jesus is and living that blessed life. But until we know it, that is not a reality. But there's another aspect of the Word that the Bible specifically refers to as light. And we read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul writes in this letter, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And what I'd like to focus on this morning in this aspect of being exposing ourselves to light and exposing ourselves to the Word is that phrase there right towards the end, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Now what the gospel is good news. And you might be sitting there, well, isn't that the Word of God? Yes. But specifically what light is being referred to here in this scripture is the message that Jesus saves. You know, there's so much to know in Jesus. And there's so much to know in God. And there's so much to know as far as the realm of the Spirit. And we can get caught up and we should pursue these things. But we should never, as believers, get too far away from the simple truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We're reminded of that. We're reminded of several things. Chief of which is that we're forgiven. Amen? And that the things of the past that might try to come upon us again, we've been set free from. We don't have to feel guilty over them because God doesn't remember them, and we don't have to go back to them because Christ has given us the power to overcome them. It reminds us that God loves us and He cares for us and that He did go to that old rugged cross for us. In the stink of our sin, He went. As people hurled insults against Him, He went. As you hurled insults at Him, as you turned your back on Him, Jesus went to the cross. It reminds us of how loved that we are in Christ. It reminds us also that it's nothing that we have done to earn this salvation. It is all by Jesus, so it keeps us humble. And so it's important, yes, to stay in the Word, but it's important to remember the good news that Jesus saves. Why do you think Jesus said take communion? To give us that constant reminder that Jesus shed His blood that we might be completely forgiven. Second question that we need to ask ourselves, am I receiving water? Water, of course, is essential for growth in a garden, and it's essential for growth in our lives because water in Scripture symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 2 and also Acts chapter 2, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. The imagery there that God gives us regarding the presence and the power of God's Holy Spirit upon our lives is that of water. It revives, it restores, it refreshes, and it gives life and it sustains life. We see in Scripture that water is necessary for germination. Listen, let me tell you, as far as you're witnessing to other people, it's important to share the Word of God. Through the preaching of the cross, people become saved. But it's equally important, sometimes we forget about that, to water that Word that was planted through prayer by asking the Holy Spirit to work on the heart of that individual. You put a seed in a dry pot of dirt and nothing will happen. But you put a seed in a well-watered pot of earth, that seed will germinate, grow, and you keep watering it, it will become strong and fruitful. Paul puts it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters anything, but God only who makes things grow. We're born by the Spirit, but we also live by the Spirit, and so it's important that if we grow, that if we continue to grow, that we continue to have the influence of the water of God, so to speak, or the Holy Spirit in our lives. John the Baptist said in Mark chapter 8, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, speaking of the ministry of Christ. What is that talking about? Is that talking about being born again? Yes. By one Spirit we are baptized into one body. But it's also talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which was something that happened subsequent to the disciples accepting Christ as their Savior. It was, as we put it, a second work of grace. And it was something that they continued in their lives. And so if it was important for the apostles and preached by the Apostle Paul, it's important for us if we want to grow, become strong, influential, fruitful, and blessed. So how do we maintain the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Number one, if you have not received that second work of grace, continue to seek God and open up your heart for God to move. But secondly, for those of us who have received that second work, it's important that we live in it. and living in. And of course, we talk about, and this is a scripture that I quote often from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies or builds up himself or helps himself to grow. It's important to pray in the Spirit. One thing I myself neglect in sharing that truth, in that when we come to a place of prayer, and let me tell you, communing with the Holy Spirit, we commune through with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, because this is the sword of the Spirit. So it's not only the Word, the light that nourishes us, it's also the water that does. Some of these symbols do overlap. But we also pray and spend time in communion with God. But when we pray, it's important that our prayer life is fully developed. And one aspect of our prayer life that sometimes we neglect because we're in a rush, we're in a hurry, or we just don't feel like doing that, is spending time praising God and worshiping God. I know it's important to bring our needs before the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that this morning. Jesus died for that. But before we come to the altar of sacrifice, we need to come into His gates with thanksgiving and praise. And when we do that, in our hearts and in our spirits, we create an atmosphere that is pleasing to God. And so when you come before God every day, and I hope you do every day, come before Him with praise and worship. Make an atmosphere in your heart and soul of praise, which is pleasing to the Holy Spirit, and will open up your heart and mind to the ministry of God's Holy Spirit and allow that water to come into your life. Thirdly, third question that we need to ask ourselves, am I releasing my fruit? Am I releasing my fruit? Now, I mentioned that I've mentioned, I think, in the past few sermons that I've had a garden. And this has been one of the best years that we've had for tomatoes. We've never had a good year like this. And they were really good, but they wouldn't ripen on the top. And so I would try to let them stay on the vine as long as possible because I wanted the type of tomato that I could take to the state fair and win the blue ribbon. You know what I'm saying? You ever want that? But you know what happened? In my zeal to have that perfect, you know, tomato that was just so red, so sweet, it would start to rot. And I ended up not eating it at all. Fruit, if it's not picked, will rot on the vine. And we got to be mindful of that as far as our lives and being people who grow. If we're to grow, we need to release our fruit. Now a lot of these symbols in life, they just happen. You know, you can't do anything about light unless, you know, it's a controlled environment. Water, you can do some. And fruit, you know, will drop on its own. But in everything, as far as it relates to the believer, everything is subject to our own free will. We control how much light we get. We control how much water we get. We control whether or not we release our fruit or not. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, and God has called us to be fruitful, to preach the Word, and to be more like Jesus. We mentioned that at the beginning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And that's stuff that's within us. In order for people to see love, genuine love, it has to start here, inside of us. We can't pretend. I mean, you can. But more often than not, people see through false love or false joy or false peace. And you know, people have false peace. They might try their hardest to look peaceful and serene, but let me tell you, that straw will come that will break the back, and all of a sudden, all that anxiety will break out. So it has to start here. But it's no good if it stays here and doesn't flow out of us. It's no good if it rots on the vine, and it can rot on the vine. We can keep our mouths shut as far as when those opportunities come to share the gospel. All of a sudden, you know, sometimes we can hack our way through a door and try to force someone to listen, you're going to hear about Jesus whether you like it or not. But a lot of times God opens the door wide open for us to tell about what Christ has done for us and what Christ can do for them. And we have the choice. We can stand up and say, let me tell you about Jesus. Or we can keep the fruit on the vine and just let it rot and sit there. In faith or love or joy, we can keep it all inside, not show it to anyone. For whatever reason, I don't know why you would, but for whatever reason, keep it inside, not let it out. See someone who's really down, just love on them. Let the peace of God flow from you. Speak words of peace to that person who might be troubled. Because maybe you're afraid or ashamed or for whatever, shy or whatever reason, you keep it in. Oh yeah, that fruit's there, but it's going to begin to rot. Just like that fruit is rotten and no one wants to have anything to do with it, that fruit can rot within your heart. And that when you miss those opportunities, instead of feeling good, you feel guilty. Instead of feeling like a person of purpose, when you release your fruit, you feel a person who's useless. And although you're keeping things inside and not letting out what God has done for you, you feel empty. One of those paradoxes of knowing Jesus. Let it out. Ask yourself, am I releasing my fruit? God has blessed me with so much. I'm living and walking victoriously. Am I letting that life out? And not just what I say, although that's very important, but how I interact with other people. And lastly, this morning, the question that we need to ask as far as are we growing? Am I being pruned? Both nature and Scripture teach us that growth requires pruning. Jesus puts it this way in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Pruning is necessary for us to grow. You say, Pastor, we're supposed to grow big, yes, but not wild. And there are three things that need to be pruned from our lives in order for us to have healthy growth. In fact, not only have healthy growth, not die, because some of these things will kill us, first of all. Disease. If you've got a plant or a tree that has a diseased limb or a vine, your best bet is to cut that off as soon as possible so that that disease doesn't get to the rest of the plant. Otherwise, it will die. And even though we've been saved from sin, there's a disease that can still afflict us as believers, and that disease is sin. Because we're still people of flesh, are still subject to sin. And so it's important that sin is exorcised from our life. We need to ask ourselves, has sin made an encroachment upon our life, either an old sin that once had us before, or something completely brand new? Because if we don't arrest that sin and cut off that sin by repenting, we can really go off on this morning by changing where we go, who we speak with, you know, who we spend time with, changing our activities, changing our thought life, changing what we put in. If we don't do that, a sick part of our life can kill the entire spiritual being that God has created. Secondly, it's important that we prune superfluous things in life. Especially now, there's so much that we can get involved in. And some things aren't really much of anything. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. And let me tell you, I'm not saying we can't go out and have a good time. I think I think hobbies are great, and trips are great, and taking time off is great. I enjoy vacation. I will take one every year. There are pastors who don't. God love them. But pleasure and leisure, especially in our society, can become a lifestyle where that becomes the goal, and not what really matters, eternal things. There are even some good things. I mean, there are other organizations in the world, in Norwich, that are good. Maybe not eternal, and we can have our energies focused on that to the point where it's, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be involved with those things because God may move you to those things and you can be a light and a witness, but we can be involved in doing so much that our fruit isn't what it should be. We have vines, but they're not producing anything for the kingdom of God. Those are things that need to be cut, so that we can fulfill our purpose. Because let me tell you, you can be involved with things that make you feel good about yourself, but it's not what God has called you to do. And if that's the case, you might feel good about yourself for a time and in a fleshly sense, but you won't have that spiritual blessing from God, knowing that you're where God has called you to be. You're influencing people for His kingdom, not just now, but for eternity. And then also in the church. And, you know, as a pastor, I'm not trying to discourage people from getting involved. But sometimes even in the church, we can be involved in too many good things. You know, and I've mentioned this before, we're talking about fruitfulness. It's like the tomato plant. You want good size fruit, you trim off all the little, I don't know what you call them, suckers. That's what I call them. And trim those off so you can have healthy fruit. Otherwise, you've got small fruit that isn't of great quality. You look at the church, you look at the need, and you want to do everything. Well, no man is an island in Christ. And even Christ delegated things in the flesh, showing us how to live, did He not? And sometimes we got to pull back, even though something might languish, so that what God has called us to do, we're not only doing, but we're doing well, and we can feel good about it. Because let me tell you, and I've been there many times, when you're doing too much, you don't feel good about yourself, because all the things that you're doing, you're not doing the way that you know that they should be done and the way that they could be done. Pruning is very important. Pruning is, and it is accomplished two ways. And I'll be ending shortly. It's something that we can and something that we should do ourselves. We need to take time as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to take time and look at ourselves. Before God, take an honest look at ourselves. Am I growing? Or are there things in my life that has taken me away from what God has called me to be? Are there things that I need to get rid of? Are there sins that are coming into my life? Am I overextended either at church or in all the activities that I have in the world, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent? and then make those changes. It takes courage. You know, I marvel, but then I shouldn't marvel because I'm the same way. People who know what they need to do in their life, but they don't do it. Well, I know I should be doing this. I know I should be praying more and reading the Bible more and so on and so forth. But I don't do it. And one of the worst things, one of the things that hinders us from doing what God is moving us to do or doing what we know that we should do is procrastination. It's one of the biggest lies that are out there. I won't do it now, but I'll do it next week. Or I'll do it next month. Let me just do these things. As far as cutting things from our lives, don't procrastinate. When you see something that is keeping you from growing and growing well, cut it out. Get it out of your life, whatever it is. Don't get it back. Don't bring it back. Repent from your sin. Cut down activities. Cut back from all the busyness that you're doing. And let me tell you, and I don't mean to go on a rabbit trail, but I think it's important. Don't minister to the point where you're affecting your own personal relationship with Christ. If you're always doing and never communing with God, you're headed for trouble. The pruning is something that, bless God, is a responsibility that God just does not put on our own shoulders for us to do by ourselves. God is also faithful to do that as well. But again, our own free will has a lot to do with whether or not that will be accomplished in our lives. The Holy Spirit convicts, says, set aside this thing, repent of this thing, step back from this thing. Whether or not we truly become pruned is whether or not we follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit and say, yes, Lord, I see that. Because sometimes, and it's okay because it happens to all of us, we don't see those things in our lives. But God loves us so much that He'll open up our hearts and our spirits to those things. So I'd like to ask our worship team, I'd like to ask the worship team to come forward this morning. I know it's not a brand new year, we're in the middle of the year, but a lot of times, especially as far as the church, we think from September to September instead of January to January. But it is the start of the fall, a brand new season. And what's past is past. The glories of the past, they're wonderful, but they're over. And there are new challenges that lay ahead. And also the failures of the past are done. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things I wish I could do over. Even this year, a lot of things, boy, I wish I did this, this, and that. We need to forget those things and just move forward in God. But if we want to move forward without regret, we want to move forward and see God move, we want to go forward and be more fruitful, to be strong, we need to ask ourselves, am I growing? So before God, with me, would you ask yourself today, am I stronger than I used to be in Christ? I don't know what's around the corner, but let me tell you, there are things that are going to be happening. And I'm not standing up here prophetically saying this thus and so is going to happen in the world. I've just seen it in life. I've seen I mentioned it before, some of the greatest challenges in life came to people in the latter part of their lifetime. Challenges are coming. Are you growing stronger? Or will you crumple? Are you influencing more people? And it doesn't mean you have to be out there. It means you have to be walking more closely with Jesus. That's how you influence people. Because if you're walking more closely with Jesus, you can't help but influence people. There's something, it's almost physically tangible, and it's definitely spiritually tangible upon someone walking closely with Jesus. It's called the anointing. And people, whether they want to or not, are sensitive to that. Even ungodly people. Why? Because God loves them. And that's just the heart of the Holy Spirit to touch people. Am I being more fruitful in my life? Am I touching people? Am I releasing the Word? Am I releasing love? Am I releasing peace? Am I releasing those things? Or am I languishing? Am I staying where I'm at? Or am I dying? Well, it's not complicated to get back on the path to growth. Once again, it's just a matter of doing the basics. There was nothing earth-shattering, ground-breaking. Rather fundamental what we shared this morning. But it's the fundamentals that we often have to remind ourselves of so that we continue to do them or begin to do them once again. And so this morning, there may be some people here who either they haven't asked that question or they need to ask that question. And as they are, they look in their own lives. And if you're not growing, you know, feel kind of rotten inside. You don't feel good. You don't feel excited about serving Jesus. It's important that before God, not only do we ask these questions, but we commit to do these things once again. So as our worship team begins to sing, if this speaks to you this morning, if God is speaking to you this morning, I would encourage you before you leave, either where you're at or if you'd like to come up front, standing, kneeling, sitting, however you're comfortable, commit to God once again to be a person of growth. I am going to grow in Christ, which means I'm going to expose myself to the light of Jesus. Every day I'm going to water this vine that God has sprung up within me with the waters of His Holy Spirit every day. You know, I skipped, because I thought my garden was fine, I skipped a few days of watering, and the new, brand new fruit that was coming dried up. We need to water regularly. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to release that fruit. And God moves upon me, and as I grow in God, I'm not going to keep it in. I'm going to let it out. I'm going to make sure I'm clean before God. I'm doing what He's called me to do. I'm not overextending, and I'm not letting sin come into my life. Find a place this morning. For the second person I want to talk to, maybe the person whose vine has died. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, this is for a living, breathing Christian, so to speak. Let me tell you, although in nature when a vine dies, it's dead, all you do is pull it out and throw it away, our God is a God of resurrection. Amen? In the book of Ezekiel, God showed the prophet Ezekiel a valley of dry bones. And He said to the prophet Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel responded, I think, in one of the most wise ways, "Lord, You know." Let me tell you, nothing's too difficult for God. And God in an instant can make the vine in your life, even though it's dead up and dried, no longer fruitful, nothing. He can make that alive and vibrant once again. Come as we worship this morning. Find a place of prayer this morning. Lead us, if you would, folks, this morning. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.